One lady walking out. So we're there's the lady came back in. James still hasn't come back. Gave him a book and he leaves. All right. Let's talk for a few moments in regard to prayer. Let's see. Tish is doing much better. And so we'll continue to be in prayer, but she's doing much better. And I would like for you to put on your prayer list my great-great-grandson. Oh, great-grandson. Now, grandson, great-grandson. I get to put on your prayer list my great-grandson. His name is Tripp. He's the third, so they call him Tripp, T-R-I-P-P. What is his name?
Robert Paul.
I've known him as Tripp. And please be in prayer for Tripp. Tripp has four symptoms of a very severe problem, and if he gets the other two, it's going to get really bad. And Tripp is three?
No, three.
Not three. Under 3 years of age, so please be in prayer for Tripp. Welcome to the world, Tripp. And so please be in prayer for Tripp. Please be in prayer for the camp coming up next month, for the speakers, the teenagers, that God the Holy Spirit will start preparing them right now for things they will be learning in camp. And let's see, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir. See what happens? So is our primary prayer recovery? Let's pray that God will use this to bring her to face-to-face with the gospel. I blame all my physical problems on secondary smoke. It's as good as anything else. That's a little better. Any other prayer request or thing? Yes, sir. Oh, no. How old is Snoopy now? Eight and a half, that's still, okay. Okay. Hang in there, Snoopy. That's the name of one of the little books that they put out. Hang in there, Snoopy. So, we'll pray, hang in there. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and move into a very wonderful and important study tonight. Let's pray. We know you, Heavenly Father, and it is our purpose and desire and goal to keep learning more and more of you and of your Son and of your Spirit. The more we learn of you, the more comfort we have in our soul. Pray tonight, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see, to know, and to understand concerning who and what you are. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 2 weeks ago, we studied the names of God, And our study dealt with when and why the Jews stopped saying the sacred name of God. And we saw that around 200 A.D., they became very legalistic and very religious. And the law, the Torah, said nothing about not speaking the name. And then the Mishnah did not say anything against speaking the name. And so, but now they do not speak the name. And we spent some time going through the various names of God. Did anybody bring their copies of that back? Okay, I didn't think you would. But we dealt with the various passages that dealt with various names of God. And we studied Elohim, Yahweh. And remember, we don't know how it would be pronounced today. Let's see, Adonai. We studied Adonai and how they insert Adonai for Yahweh in many cases. And let's see, Adonai, Elohim. And then we studied as to when they stop pronouncing the name of God. Okay, I'm at the VA, and Judith found this book, and I looked at it, and when I had to go back to the VA, I bought one for everyone here, and the VA charges $3.99. I think Amazon charges $14 for this little book, but I wanted to get us one in here, and I'd like you to start by opening to page 6. Let's just go through and learn some things. More in what we learned in that study of when they pronounced and when they did not pronounce the names of God. And so page 6, we start with the most basic fundamental, El, meaning the strong one. He is more powerful than any false god, and God will overcome all obstacles. We can depend on him. And then it gives some Bible references. And this is an excellent book. I studied it before I bought all of us one to be sure that it was good. And I think for the brevity, it's really wonderful. Comments. And it gives you pronounce. And then it says occurs more than 200 times in the Old Testament, including compounds, generic Semitic name for God used by other cultures to refer to their gods. El is used in compound proper names, and it lists some of those. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Good.
Is Lester here with you?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
There you go. Do what?
$2.99.
Good. They got it cheaper, not paid for it. All right. So that's page 6. And now, before we look at those, look at page 9. Page 9. Elohim, another key name for God that we studied. Elohim, meaning the all-powerful one, creator. Application, God is the all-powerful creator of the universe. God knows all, creates all, and is everywhere at all times. The plural of El. See that H-I-M or I-M at the end? That's your plural. So it's Elohim. Sometimes you can have deal with it and say it's referring to all three members of the Trinity. Different things are done with the plural aspect, some of them not too good. Bible references and then comments. Pronounced Elohim, plural. And again, I remind you, we don't know how they pronounced it back in the days of the Old Testament. Plural form of El, the name is usually associated with God in relation to his creation. Some people use the plural word Elohim as proof of the Trinity. Elohim is also used to refer to false gods and even human judges. So in studying the Bible, you have to be very careful not to lay out absolutes because it just requires a lot of work. Now let's go back to page 7. Go back to page 7, and let's look at a couple of the compounds of El. We have Elohei, Yisrael, meaning the God of Israel. Our God, the God of Israel. The God of Israel is distinct and separate from all false gods of the world. Some Bible references. There are many more Bible references. They just put in some for us. Comments. Give you the pronunciation, the name of the altar that Jacob, Israel, erected after his encounter with God and God's blessing upon him. Gives you that reference. Now let's go to 8. El Elyon, meaning the God Most High. Application, he is the sovereign God in whom we can put our trust. El Elyon has supremacy over all false gods. Bible references, comments, Melchizedek, the king for whom Christ is going to be the king priest after, also the name of Jerry and Leslie's dog. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, Jerusalem, and the priest of the God Most High, referred to God as El Elyon three times when he blessed Abram. And then page 9, after page 8, look at page 10. We've looked at Elohim. Look at page 10. Page 10, El Olam, the eternal God, the everlasting God. So what you could do in your own time of study, just read through and just skip and get the meanings of names of God after each one of them. Application, it is the beginning and the end. The one who works his purpose throughout the ages. He gives strength to the weary. Bible references, comments, Jesus Christ possesses eternal attributes. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. He obtained eternal redemption for all of us, all who believe in him. And then, page 11, we have El Roy, meaning the God who sees us. So you can kind of start gathering if you're thinking, El God, Roy must have something to do with seeing. El Roy, the God who sees. Application, there are no circumstances in our lives that escape his fatherly awareness and care. God knows us and our troubles. Bible references, comments. Hagar called the Lord by his name, by this name, beside a fountain of water in the wilderness. God knows all our thoughts and feelings. Jesus knew the thoughts of those around him, demonstrating that he is El Roy. And it gives some Bible references for that. Then let's go to page 12. Page 12, El Shaddai. This is the all-sufficient one, the God of the mountains, God Almighty. Now, I'll just share with you the Greek or the Hebrew, Shaddai, means breasted. This really refers to the many-breasted God who supplies all of our needs as a mother would supply the needs of the infant. Application, God is the all-sufficient source of all our blessings. God is all-powerful. Our problems are not too big for God to handle. Bible references, comments. Some scholars suggest that Shaddai refers to God's power evident in his judgment. Others suggest that El Shaddai means the God of the mountains. God refers to himself as El Shaddai when he confirms his covenant with Abraham. I'm sorry they didn't put in about the many-breasted God. I think that's a very beautiful and applicable name for God. Now skip to page 25. Page 25. This is the sacred name of God that the Jews will not pronounce, and it is Yahweh, meaning I am, and you should know that now from our study in that regard. The one who is the self-existing one. I am means I am self-existing. I did not come from anyone and do not go back from my origin. I am. I have always existed. Application, God never changes. His promise never fails. When we are faithless, He is faithful. I would have not put that. I'd have put things relating to his being, but that's okay. Gives you something to deal with, somebody something to deal with. Comments, God's personal name given to Moses, also called the Tetragrammaton, four letters, YHWH, occurs about 6,800 times, translated Lord in English versions of the Bible, because it became common practice for Jews to say Lord, Adonai, instead of saying the name Yahweh. That did not start until about 200 A.D. Okay, from page 25, go back now to page 14. Page 14. I'm taking these up in the order in which we studied them and the importance of our study in looking at these. Jehovah, meaning I am, the one who is, the self-existing one. God never changes. His promise never fails. When we are faithless, he is faithful. Do you understand? Jehovah is the same as Yahweh. That's why it reads that way, because it's the same thing. Comments. And we've already studied this, but I can't believe I looked at this and I went, doggone it, I worked to find that out. And here they just put it out there for everybody to read. And that is a 16th century German translator wrote the name Yahweh using the vowels of Adonai, because the ancient Jewish text from which he was translating had the vowels of Adonai under the consonants, YHWH, VH is where they do it. By doing this, he incorrectly came up with the name Jehovah, but it stuck. So the King James and a lot of the translations still translated Jehovah, but that's Yahweh, the name of God. All right, look at page 15, right across the page. Jehovah Yireh, meaning the Lord will provide. So Jehovah, Lord, Yireh, you know, is going to mean something about providing. Just as God provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac, he provided his son Jesus as a ultimate sacrifice. God will meet all our needs. That's what his love does. Comment, also known as Yahweh, Yireh, and you know, you're ready for that. Jehovah is Yahweh. Abraham called the place the Lord will provide, where God provided a ram to be sacrificed instead of his son Isaac. Jesus said that he was the bread of life. Anyone who comes to him will be provided for, as far as salvation is concerned. All right, let's make it 16. Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord, meaning the Lord who sacrifices. So God sets us apart as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy unto God, a people of his own. He cleanses our sins and helps us mature. Bible references. And I was very thankful they put in the New Testament references, so dealing with the priesthood, so that you will realize you are a priesthood under Christ. All right, and also known as Yahweh Mecha Dudishkim, we have been set apart, made holy, and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Jehovah. Therefore, we are to continue to live our lives holy and pleasing to God. And it gives a New Testament reference. Then we go to page 17. Jehovah Nissa, the Lord is my banner. So you know Nissa is under the banner of the Jehovah is the Lord. God gives us victory against the flesh, the world, and the devil. Those are our three enemies. Our battles are his battles of light against darkness and good against evil. Bible references and then comments. Pronounced Jehovah Nissi, also known as Yahweh Nissi, which is could be said of every one of these with Jehovah in front of it. Name of the altar built by Moses after defeating the Amalekites at Rephidim. Isaiah prophesies that the root of Jesse, Jesus, will stand as a banner for his people. Isaiah 11:10. All right, let's look at page 18. These are all going to do with Yahweh or Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord who heals. These are just wonderful ways to relate to the Lord by his name. I love this book. God has provided the final cure for spiritual, physical, and emotional sickness in Jesus Christ. God can heal us if you let him. If you don't let him, he won't heal. He can't heal. Or he can, but he isn't going to impose upon you. All right? Comments also known as Yahweh Rapha. Jesus demonstrated that he was the Jehovah Rapha in his healing of the sick, blind, lame, and casting out demons. Jesus also heals his people from sin and unrighteousness. Now, the only thing here is I wish they'd have put in more Old Testament, because that's the word we're dealing with. It's an Old Testament word. All they have here is Exodus and Psalm 103. But it does let you know that it is right out of the text. Okay, 19. Jehovah, Yahweh, Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. So now you got an idea of what the word for shepherd is in the Hebrew, Raha. The Lord protects, provides, directs, leads, and cares for his people. God tenderly takes care of us as a strong and patient shepherd. But always remember, he has that staff. He'll whack you over the head with it. Okay? Bible references, comments, also known as Yahweh Rab. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the people. Page 20. Jehovah Yahweh Sabaoth. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies. Host means armies. The Lord of hosts of heaven will always fulfill his purpose, even when the host of his earthly people fail. And the angelic armies called his host. Comments? Also known as Yahweh Sabaoth, many English versions of the Bible translate Sabaoth as Almighty. Jehovah Sabaoth is often translated as the Lord Almighty. Sabaoth is also translated as Heavenly Host, or even simply armies. Page 21. Jehovah Yahweh Shalom, another beautiful Hebrew word. The Lord is peace. God defeats our enemies to bring us peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. God brings inner peace and inner harmony if you let him. It's not going to be there if you don't, but if you let him, by faith in the Holy Spirit, you will experience shalom. Also known as Yahweh Shalom, name of the altar built by Gideon at Ophrah to memorialize God's message. Peace be unto thee. Isaiah tells us that the Messiah will also be known as the Prince of Peace, our Jehovah Shalom, and the Bible references there. All right, page 22. We have Jehovah Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord is my companion. Application, God's presence is not limited are contained in the tabernacle or the temple, but is accessible to all who love and obey him. And what's the obedience he's looking for? Faith. A Bible reference is, and then we have also known as Yahweh Shema. God revealed to Ezekiel that the name of the new Jerusalem shall be the Lord is there. I love that. The Lord is there, though Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, dwells in us. And he gives the reference there. All right, page 23. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of righteousness. The word for righteousness is Tzedek, T-S-I-D-E-K, Tzedek. So this is the Lord of our righteousness. Jesus is the king who would come from David's line and is one who imparts his righteousness to us at the point of faith in Christ. Bible references and then comments, also known as Yahweh Sedeq. All people sin and fall short of God's glory. No, all people sin and do not have any of God's glory. But God freely makes us righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. God promised to send a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right. The people will live in safety, given in promise of prophecy, Jeremiah 23. All right, page 24. Yah, or Yah, meaning I am the one who is the self-existing one. These are interesting studies of the Bible, these verses, to study why the name is given there. God never changes. His promise never fails. When we are faithless, he is faithful. God promises. That's where the Yahweh comes through. Shorter form of Yahweh, it is often used when combined with other names or phrases, and he lists some of those. God is Yah. Yah, the Lord is my salvation. All right, from page 24, let's go back to page 5 now. We haven't looked at page 5. Yes. Page 5. Well, what is beautiful is I go to the VA for hospital treatment. She goes to the VA to shop. And that's just the way that works. Yes, so I am too, but trust me. I'm in there with the cardiologist, and she's sitting there, and you know, he and I are just carrying on a wonderful conversation. And she, what does that mean? Does it da-da-da-da-da-da? And she just asks questions. I don't have those questions, but she gets it down. Okay, page 5, I want you to look, Adonai. This is the word that the Jews use instead of Yahweh, meaning the Lord, my great Lord. God is the master and majestic Lord. God is our total authority. Adonai, plural, is derived from the singular Adon, Lord. This term was pronounced in substitution of Yahweh, considered too sacred to be uttered, and I gave you some verses in that study why they considered it sacred. Now let's look at page 13. Page 13. Emmanuel. Okay, you can see the L at the end, so you know it's something with God. So this means God with us. And I am, I'm not sure why they translate that I am, but it's God with us. And that's what the angel told Joseph and Mary, you shall name him, for he is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God in our midst. In him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. The name indicates that Jesus is more than man. He is also God. Isaiah said that the child born to the virgin would be called Emmanuel. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. Now, that's why I bought the book, because we've been studying the names of God. I want you to go over those, but don't put it away yet. Let's look at the part dealing with page 26. I won't spend much time here, but I just want to show you how rich this little book can be when you're heavy. When you want to just read and think about God, here are names of Jesus. And these are some of the names. Almighty, author and finisher, and he gives you Bible references. Beloved, branch, bread of life, bridegroom, bright and morning star, carpenter, chosen one, Chief Cornerstone. That's one of my favorites, Chief Cornerstone. And the picture here is that they're building, for an example, a pyramid or something. And they get all the stone. And here's this oddly shaped stone. I mean, it looks like this. And they look at it. This is nothing. Put it over. The stone builders messed up. Put it over on the side and leave it alone. That's why I talked about they left the cornerstone aside. They put it aside. Then you start building. You go, wait a minute. You know what? I think we have the stone that fits right there in this pyramid, right there on the corner. That's that one that's sitting over there with the weeds all over it. And they pull out the cornerstone. All right? So chief cornerstone, door, Emmanuel, eternal father. That's right. He's called the eternal father. Faithful and true witness, firstborn, God, head of the church, high priest, apostle, holy one, hope, image of the invisible God, and Jesus, judge, ruler, king of kings, lamb of God, the last Adam, light of the world, Lion of the tribe of Judah. These are just beautiful titles of Jesus Christ, and you can spend time looking at these verses and be strengthened by it. Living water, Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords, man of sorrows. That's what we're studying in Isaiah 53. Master, messenger of the covenant, Messiah, prince of peace, prophet, Redeemer, resurrection and the life, Savior, Shepherd, Shalom. Shalom, Jesus is our promised peace. Son of God, true vine, the way, the truth, and the life. Wisdom of God, wonderful counselor. Word, Yahweh, or Jehovah is used in reference to Jesus in the Old Testament. Okay, next you have the names of the Holy Spirit. I think this is very good. Breath of the Almighty, Counselor, Comforter, Bible references on all of these. Eternal Spirit, Free Spirit, God, Good Spirit, Holy Spirit, Lord. Now, I like that one because most people don't consider him Lord. He is your Lord. He is your Lord who takes you to your Lord Jesus Christ, who takes you to your Lord God the Father. Spirit of God, power of the highest, spirit of might, spirit of counsel, spirit of glory, spirit of adoption, spirit of burning, spirit of Christ, spirit of truth, spirit of grace, spirit of knowledge, spirit of the Son, spirit of wisdom, spirit of life, spirit of the living God, spirit of prophecy, spirit of revelation, spirit of the Father, spirit of the fear of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of judgment, Spirit of understanding, or just plain Spirit, Spirit of Yahweh, Spirit of the Lord. Now, page 92, I found this interesting. They added this, and it's a nice, we won't read through all of it right now, but this is really interesting. The Trinity, what Christians believe about the Trinity. In the simplest terms, Christians believe that there is only one God, and this one God exists as one essence in three persons. The three persons are God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Call the Holy Ghost in the King James. Ghost. All right. God is one absolute, perfect, divine being in three persons. His being is what God is in relation to the universe he created. The three are called persons because they relate to one another in personal ways. Now, this is important study because a lot of people think that Christianity believes in three gods. No, we believe in one God in three persons. And in fact, didn't the Jews have a trouble with that? The Jews had trouble with our belief of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that meant we have more than one God. And a very important passage to them, the God of Israel is one. And so they have a trouble. And a lot of people in the church age try to attack Christianity as having multiple gods rather than just one God. Early Christians used this diagram to explain the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they are not three names for the same person. When Christians talk about believing in one God in three persons, the Trinity, they do not mean one God and three gods, three persons in one person, three persons in three gods, one person in three gods. We do not mean that. Rather, they mean one God in three persons. Therefore, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And then they give you the little ending. Why do Christians believe in the Trinity? The Bible clearly teaches there is only one God, yet all three persons are called God. There is only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's very strong to the Jewish thinking. The Father is God. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father. The Son is God. The Word was God. Jesus identified as the Word. I and the Father are one. Jesus did not tell Thomas he was mistaken. Instead, Jesus accepted these titles. Other people in Scripture, notably Paul and Barnabas, refused to accept worship as gods. They were not gods. So, this is just, I thought, something really valuable. Put it on your desk or in your dresser or somewhere, and you get discouraged, disillusioned, wonder where God is, what God's doing. Pull it out and start reading in regard to various things dealing with God. Okay? Any questions? All right? So those books are yours. All right. Let's open the Word of God, Isaiah 53. We have just enough time to start getting taken care of a few things. Isaiah 53. By the way, I appreciate your acceptance of Jody Brown, and appreciated some of the comments that y'all gave him and his wife Kim. That was very thoughtful, very good. And I got a call from a member who listens on the internet and all, and keying off of Jody's second message, he said, you know what, I've decided to drop how much I've been sending. I think I'll just send $2, because y'all seem to be very excited about the $2 by the widow's mite. So I'm just going to send you $2. I said, that's great. Just supplement it. All right, Isaiah 53. Now, several weeks ago, we started Isaiah 53:6. So let's get into that momentum. Isaiah 53:6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Now, we spend some time on the Tetragrammaton. This is what got us into all of this. The Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, where it says, the Lord. And how the Jews did not pronounce this name out of sacredness to them. Now, arose as to exactly when, we saw that from our study. This was around 200 A.D., where the Jews stopped pronouncing the name, the sacred name of God. This led to an entire class going through the history of the Jews, pronouncing the names of God. There was one other question brought up from the original study of verse 6, and that person isn't here, which doesn't surprise me. That caused me to have to go do the work. They don't show up. They're not that interested. Why do I care when people ask questions? But let's look at Isaiah 65 so that I can answer the question. Isaiah 65. I was asked this question in class and then after class. Okay, Isaiah 65, verse 15 that we read 2 or 3 weeks ago. Actually, it had been 3 weeks ago because 2 weeks ago we studied with the names. So 3 weeks ago. You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and the Lord God will slay you, but my servants will be called by another name. Okay, spend some time on this. We're not going to spend 3 hours on it, but let's just go through some things. First, this verse introduces the importance of the names of God in the Word of God. You can just see that. He talks about your name, my chosen ones, Lord God, my servants will be called by another name. The names are important to God. And some people don't like their names that their parents gave them. Some people do. Some people don't think about it. That's what I'm called. That's who I am. Over the years, I've had couples realize that they are going to be giving birth. And what do we name? I said, well, if you don't like any of the names in the Bible, that's where I think you should start. But if you don't like names in the Bible, go to a theater, go to a movie, and just sit there at the end and see hundreds and hundreds of names and say, I like that up on the board. I like the way it looks. And name your kid that. And then they ask you, how did you get the name? Just say, I thought of you as being your name on billboards and that type of thing. But you name your child. Okay. Now, the Lord God. Where Lord is a translation of the Hebrew Adonai. And God is a translation of Yahweh. So, Lord Adonai, God Yahweh, which is consistent with our two previous verses, but note here that the NASB, they insert in the margin. This is an interesting of the NASB. They insert in the margin Yahweh. If you have an NASB that has marginal notes, does it not have Yahweh in the margin? If you have that. Nobody has that? Anybody have the New American Standard with the marginal notes? Huh? Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. All right. If we were in John Hintz's class of the Salvation Army, I'd throw you a piece of candy. Okay. By the way, I forgot to mention it. John is doing much better. He taught last night to the Salvation Army, and he's slowly feeling better and better. He gets tired very easily, cannot move a whole lot because of the rib, but so continue to be in prayer for John and Judy. All right, now, so the NASB inserts in the margin Yahweh for God. But the question came up about my servants will be called by another name. Okay, a couple of things. First, this is addressed to the believing remnant of Israel, as is indicated by my chosen ones and my servants. So we know that these are believers. But here in context, they failed to proclaim the name of Yahweh. They failed to proclaim the name of Yahweh. Secondly, leave your name for a curse means that the name will be used as a formula of cursing. Give you an idea. Let's say, take some Gentiles. You're going to be like those Israelites. And their God came down and let them have it. That's what you're going to be like. So you don't want to be like those Israelites. Have your God come down. Our God is not going to do that. Their God did that. So it'll be a name of cursing. You don't want to be like that, or you are like that, or you're going to be like that. So that's what the name, leave your name for a curse, is about. It means that that name will be used as a formula for cursing, so that men will be able to wish nothing worse on others than a fate like that that befell on the Israelites. That's what it means. In that sense, we understand the use of names. Judah, what do we have? Judas. You have the name Judas, at least in my mind, I immediately think of a betrayer. one who betrays. We're not going to name my kid Judas. And might name my dog that, but I'm not going to name my kid that. Benedict Arnold. That portrays a name, a concept to us. Hitler. That portrays a concept to us. So names did that, and that's what this is talking about. Point three. My servants will be called, that is known, they will be known by another name. That is a name of blessing, or the name by which men are blessed. Now, to get that, to understand that, tell him what I had to do with this Christian, he's not even here. All right, look at Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. And the nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. Now, with that in mind, look at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. Let's read verse 5. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial, a name better than that of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Now that, now go back to 62. Psalm 60, or Isaiah 62, verse 4. It will no longer be said of you, forsaken. See, that's the curse. Forsaken. Nor to your land will it any longer be called desolate. But you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. The land that these people are on is very important. The land. And it's really interesting, even today, when you go over to the Middle East, Israel had some beautiful land, beautifully cultivated. They had, and in certain parts of it, covers over it so that they could grow in it. Well, as the history would have it, they turned this over to the Palestinians. Within 3 months, it was shambles. They didn't care about it. They don't care about the land. It's not dear to them. It's not important to them. But the land of Israel is important. And when Judith and I were over there, you could just drive around and see that land belongs to Palestinians. That land belongs to Israel. How do you know that? This is unkept. This is particularly kept very well. So it's a love of the land. And I'm sorry to say, in America, people don't love America's land anymore. Don't love America anymore, from our president who apologizes down to people. We don't value this land anymore. And so that's the whole difference that we're dealing with right here. Okay, now we're ready to resume our study in Isaiah 53. Let's go to verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. This verse again clearly teaches why the need for substitutionary atonement. Why the need for substitutionary atonement? Because we've all gone astray. We've all left his righteousness. Why did Jesus Christ have to undergo the sufferings of spiritual death, given and smitten and slain and stricken, smitten, and slain and afflicted. Here's some candy bar for you. All right. So why did he have to be smitten, afflicted, and they'll say, why? Because we've gone astray. We've gone astray. He has to be afflicted. He has to be smitten. So this is because of what we have done. And why the need of him. So verse 6 teaches us two things. Why we need him. Because we've gone astray. Why he suffered. Because we've gone astray. And I don't want to get started now, so I just have to review it. So we'll start right here next Wednesday night and move along in Isaiah 53, which I'm in no hurry because we've covered some beautiful things in our study of Isaiah 53. So we'll begin here next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a marvelous plan on your part. What unbelievable obedience from your Son to fulfill your plan and involve his suffering for us. And that while we were his enemies. Father, we learned so much about you and your Son and your Spirit from your names. We learned so much from your actions. As we continue to grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, as we continue to study your word. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen tonight, use them, Heavenly Father, to your glory and to the glory of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.